Your Calgary Flames only play here. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Through 60 minutes and beyond, the Flames talk. Post-game show starts now. Live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge.
Okay, your final score, 6-2. Flames over the Florida Panthers here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And our post-game coverage is underway. Let's go to the Flames locker room right now and check in with the last goal scorer of the evening, Andrew Mangiapane, who picked up his fourth of the year as part of this 6-2 win over Florida. Your thoughts. First of all, thanks for doing this, and your thoughts on this one, coming back home and being able to score six times in a victory. How'd you like this one for your group tonight?
Yeah, it was good. It was definitely a big win, much-needed win for us. I still think that we got to clean up some areas and, little things like that, but it was definitely good to, come out here and, get a quick start and use the fans to our advantage and get a good win.
The offense was a bit of a struggle in the final three games of that road trip. How nice was it to see the puck go in and have some of the good things that your group is doing lead to some offense in this one tonight?
Yeah, it's big, right? You got to play the right way and bury your chances, right? I felt maybe a little bit on that road. We were a little snake bitten there, so it was definitely nice to come out here and, get up whatever it was, three goals in the first period there and keep things rolling from there.
Walk us through that 1-0 goal, what you saw, and eventually the decision you made to feed Dylan Dubé on that shorty. I guess just walk us through that 1-0 goal.
It was a good play by all the PK guys on the ice there, turning the puck over. And I saw the D-man kind of jump at me, so I knew I had Dubé's back door and put it a little ahead of him, and he had a nice finish, and it was a big goal for us.
Were you expecting him to repay that favor late in the third there?
I was hoping. No, I'm just joking. He made a good play there in the third as well, and it was a good kind of lucky kind of 2-on-0, but we'll take it.
Man, it looks like your line with Kadri in the middle and you and Dylan, you've been getting the opportunities. You've been spending a lot of time on the attack. The shot volume has been there. Just for your line to get rewarded in this game, how nice was that?
Yeah, it's nice. I think the last few games there, the road trip, I thought we were playing decent hockey. We were just, a little snake bitten. So it's good to come here and, for our line and, keep building off this type of game.
And a final thought for you. You kick off a five-game homestand with a win. How important could this homestand be? Do you see this as a big opportunity for your group to kind of turn things back in your favor?
Yeah, we got to, be hard team to play against at home, right? And, that's key for us for the whole season. So it's a big homestand here, and we got to keep rolling and keep playing our type of hockey.
Thanks for doing this, man. Congrats on the win. Good luck on Thursday.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.
Andrew Mangiapane, post-game following tonight's 6-2 win. Andrew with a goal and an assist as part of this 6-2 win over the Florida Panthers on a Tuesday night as our post-game coverage continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Let's head over to head coach Daryl Sutter, who's underway right now.
Go ahead, you guys.
Say special teams was the difference in this one for your group tonight, Daryl?
Well, I thought we were pretty good right through, but obviously that shorty right away and then the power play. Tonight was more about timely goals, I think. We scored the first goal and then the 4-2 goal and then the 5-2 goals are big goals for us.
What did you think of how your team played with the lead tonight?
We started with the lead and we kept the lead, so take it. Right? You're always concerned coming home from the trip, the energy level and all that, so we got some big games out of our four big D. Those two pairs were awesome, and then those kids up front were really good too, Ange and Dupes.
How important was it for Ange and Dupes to get on the score sheet tonight and play?
They've been getting them though, like we've been talking to them lots. They've been, you look at it, we had 10 shots three games ago, and they've been basically getting half our shots. So, it is going to come for them eventually.
What do you think of your goaltending tonight?
He's solid. I mean, he had to, but there's probably four or five really good ones, but he was solid. I like the way he covered pucks and moved pucks.
When you talk about the challenge of coming back from a long trip, do you think that energy in here tonight helped your group?
Yeah, I think coming home it always does. This is a unique building with a unique base, right? And I've always said that the fans are just supporting as the players.
Okay.
Good enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. That is head coach Daryl Sutter live in the Ed Whalen Media Lounge following a 6-2 win over the Florida Panthers here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Okay, we're coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge on a Tuesday night. Flames win 6-2 over the Florida Panthers. Jason LaBarber joins us to continue along. And Barbs, we were talking a little bit getting ready for this, but nice to see some pucks go in. Nice to see it wasn't a complete white knuckler right down to the line tonight. That even from a coaching standpoint, that had to be nice tonight.
And the goalie coach's standpoint too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's been it's been a grind for sure. There's a lot of games have been close, so it's nice that we were able to get those last two ones just to kind of put it out of reach. I think it's good for the guys. It's good for their confidence, and it's just good for the group.
Mr. Vladar, another solid start. Thought he was real good early. And even in the third at 4-2, people might not forget because you scored. But did he not make a couple of pretty good saves there at 4-2 before you went the other way?
Yeah, I think he had I think that save on Sam Bennett there in the slot. I think it was still a 4-2 at that point.
It was.
The C kind of parted, and that was a big save. There was a couple sneaky tough ones there, at the end. And he made timely saves. He did a good job of controlling his rebounds and stuff off his body. And, he was solid tonight.
Coming off of career years, the goals, assists, and points have been tougher to come by for Dylan Dubé and Andrew Mangiapane this season. I thought they were fantastic tonight. 5 points between them. Did you like them as much as I did? And if so, what did you like about how they played tonight?
Well, I thought they just looked more like themselves. When those guys are skating and hunting pucks and turning pucks over and in on the forecheck, that's when they're at their most effective. And I thought they did a good job of that stuff tonight. And then again, they were rewarded for it, which is always a plus for them.
Jason LaBarber with us, Flames goaltending coach, 6-2 win over the Florida Panthers. Want to bring it back to Dan for a second. Lou and I were talking about it during the pregame show. This guy, like, he's hard on himself, isn't he? We were listening to him Saturday after the Carolina game where he was brilliant and was really, really good but didn't pick up the win, and was listening to him do media. He's like, nah, not good enough. I need to get W's for this team. Can you talk about the competitive level and the accountability level that Dan Vladar brings to the table?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he has high expectations of himself for sure. And, that's what's helped him get to this level, and that's what's going to continue to help him to keep progressing at this level. And, even when I sat with him, yesterday, I guess, when we watched video, he felt like he should have had all three goals in the Carolina game. Like, well, you did have a lot of other ones too. So, most goalies, most elite guys, most guys at this level are going to feel like they should make every save. And, that's a good trait to have for sure.
You work with them every day. What one or two areas have you seen the biggest strides?
I think the structure to his game for sure. When we got him, he was like a ball of clay. You saw all the raw athletic ability, and you just had to sort of teach him how to build some structure to his game. And he's done. He's been so coachable and done an unbelievable job working at it. And he's progressing with that stuff. And then, with skating, I think, at this level, you got to be able to move. You got to be able to change direction. You got to be able to, grab your edge and go and all that sort of stuff. And he's done a really good job of building that structure, playing in the middle, and his skating has just, gotten so much better because, A, he wants to get better and put in the work, and we put the work in to help him get better.
Goaltender's best friend can be Chris Tanev. What did you think of him tonight? Because I thought he was once again a warrior for this team.
Yeah, I mean, every time I'm on, and you guys ask me, Tanny, as a goalie, you love guys like Tanny, and he blocks shots. He's so smart when the puck comes around the horn on the penalty kill, like knowing how to get out, being in the lane, and knowing how to protect himself so he doesn't get himself killed, because it takes a lot of jam to do what he does, and he's really good at it. And then he's one of those guys that when he is on the ice, he just sort of shuts things down, he slows the game down, and he just, again, as a goalie, when eight's out there, you're happy to see him.
Important to kick off a homestand and with a win, and not just a win, but kind of an emphatic win against the team that you were playing, everything that went into it. Good to kick it off this way?
Yeah, for sure. We obviously weren't happy with the way the trip went. There was some good stuff on the trip, but we didn't get the results we were looking for, obviously. And, it's never easy. The first game, coming home off a road trip is never easy, but you know, obviously we got off to a good start and the guys stuck with it through 60 minutes, and you know, it's a good win for us.
Thanks, Barbs.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Congrats.
That is Jason LaBarbera, Flames goaltending coach, joining us here on the Flames Talk postgame show. Calgary 6, Florida 2. That's how this game goes on a Tuesday night here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. As we're underway on your Flames Talk postgame show, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast. Peter Labardius, Derek Wills. My name is Pat Steinberg. We've heard from Andrew Mangiapane, right from Mange to Daryl Sutter, right from Daryl to Jason LaBarbera. You don't get it anywhere but right here on your Flames Talk postgame. Lou, what'd you think? Flames did not necessarily have to white knuckle it the same way they have, and they got some offensive confidence going. You know, was it a perfect game? By no means.
No.
But they were able to score some goals, which has been a real issue for them of late.
You have to build kind of brick by brick, and I do think the most important thing for this team was for the team itself and for the number of individuals, Pat, to feel good about their games and themselves. And it wasn't a structural masterpiece by any stretch on either side. It was, even Mr. LaBarbera noted to us before we got rolling, it was a little on the sloppy side both ways. And I don't think anybody would argue that who watches the game closely. But for what this team needed right now, I think it was a really good night.
It was a pond hockey game at times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, odd man rushes for the team who was trying to kill a penalty. I mean, it was just bizarre, some of the chances we saw at both ends
Not
tonight.
Not a lot of saves at one end.
At one end, for sure, but lots of saves at the other end. I thought Dan Vladar was fantastic, especially early in this hockey game when the Panthers were throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at the Flames. But I think it was a good game in the sense that this is a team that has had a harder time scoring goals this season than they did last. Six guys had multi-point games tonight. Rasmus Anderson, Jonathan Huberdeau, Dylan Dubé, Noah Hanifin, Tyler Toffoli, and Andrew Mangiapane all had at least 2 points. Dubé led the way with 3. So for those guys, it's going to help build some offensive confidence. And just to be able to win a game like you, Pat, talked about, Pat, without having to white knuckle it or bite your fingernails off down the stretch. Last season, everything seemed to come easy for this team. Goals, wins, everything was easy. This season's been pretty much the polar opposite of that. It's been hard to score in most of the games, and it's been hard to win. And even the games that they've won, it hasn't looked easy. So for them to skate to a 6-2 win in a game that we've all had circled on their calendars since the schedule came out, I think is a big win. And you start a homestand with an emphatic victory, and I think it's something that can potentially be a springboard for this team. And they've been looking for a springboard all season long.
Yep.
And now they've got a chance to maybe get on a bit of a roll as they kick off a 5-game homestand.
Let's get to tonight's save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes, because that starts a run of some real positive and real impressive performances in this game against Florida. Dan Vladar gets the third start in 4 games, and his save of the game comes in period number 1.
Here's Mark Stahl. He clears it up to near side and out. And now Ryan Lomberg's going to catch up to it. Former Flame wheels it up the right wing side and centers. Hornqvist the redirect. Great save by Vladar. Dan Vladar robbing Patrick Hornqvist.
So that ends up being one of the 30 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com. Better way to build. And Derek, it's a run of games here for Dan Vladar, and he gets rewarded with a result that he's looking for the first time. We just asked Jason LaBarbera about that. He was so hard on himself, guys, after Saturday's loss against Carolina. And I get it. That's a good teammate. That's accountability. That's high expectations. And that's competitiveness. All good things. But from the outside, it's like you are being way too hard on yourself, because he gave them a really good chance to win that game in Carolina, where the group in front of them was not at their best. But he's like, I got to get W's for this team. I got to get W's. He was good tonight against Florida, and he got a W.
Yeah, and he's a hard guy not to cheer for, as you brought up on the broadcast tonight, Lou. He is a very humble human being, and it's been a lot of fun to get to know him and to watch him grow since he joined this team at the start of last season, when, quite frankly, we didn't know a lot about him. He had played in 5 career NHL games. They were all with the Bruins. You got to give credit to Jordan Sigalette for digging him up, and to Brad Treleving for acquiring him, and to Jason LaBarbera, who we just talked about, for working with him. And I think you have to give Jacob Markstrom some credit as well. You know, he's been a really good partner and mentor for Dan Vladar, and Dan would be the first guy to say that about Jacob. But, you know, we've seen him grow a lot, and as we've talked about on a lot of daily Calgary Flames roundtables, Pat, and as the three of us have talked about pregame, postgame, and during broadcast this season, the numbers, I don't think, really told the story with Dan Vladar. Certainly his record didn't. He was 1-4-1 coming into this game tonight. But even his, you know, goals against average, which was at 2.82, and his save percentage, which was at 908, I don't think those really accurately reflected how well he's played in all but one game this season. I think he's had one bad game this season. And, you know, even the best players and best goaltenders have a bad game from time to time. But, you know, I give the guy a ton of credit. He's been working his butt off in practice. He's, I think, made the most of the opportunities that he's been given. And when I say that, he's made the most of those opportunities, he's given the team a chance to win. And that's what I expect from a goaltender. And he can be as hard on himself as he wants to be, but we've watched him play. We've seen how well he's played, and, you know, it's good to hear that he's being hard on himself because he's pushing himself to be better, but I don't think he should be too hard on himself just because, you know, the team isn't necessarily giving him, to steal a baseball term, as much run support as they have to. But it was great to see him score six goals in front of their goaltender tonight. And I guess now the burning question, and I'm sure one that you're going to be asked when you start taking calls and text a little bit later on the postgame show, Pat: who gets to start on Thursday when the Canadians come to town? If it's Dan Vladar, that'll be three straight starts. And I don't think it would be the worst thing for Jacob Markstrom just to get a little bit of a break. They tried to let him play through the funk that he's been in for part of the season. That hasn't necessarily worked for him. So maybe taking a step back and working on his game in practice could help him get back to the Vezina Trophy level that we know he's capable of being at. Oh, the wheels are turning.
Oh, no, the wheels.
I see smoke coming out of your
ears.
No.
I knew we were going to get here tonight, and Daniel Vladar has more than upheld his end of the bargain, and he has made the decision on Thursday very difficult. I still believe that going forward, it's really, really important for the other guy to get things worked out. That would be a real difficult decision for me at this point. You know, Jacob, if he doesn't play in that game, will go from a Friday to potentially a Saturday, and you might have another, you know, discussion if Mr. Vladar. But on the other hand, you need to win, and, and you're in a really important stretch. So you're going to weigh it out. You're going to think about the opponent. You're going to think about where Jacob is at because he's still a really, really important piece. And that's why head coaches have to make tough decisions because that one, you know, it's you're always wrestling between, as a coach, winning the next one and thinking about what's best for your team and your season.
Well, I'm just like, when I think about it, I don't ever guess what they're going to do because you're usually wrong.
Oh, we all guess. We're doing that right now.
But I try not to. Like, I have no idea what Daryl Sutter is going to do for the game on Thursday. If it were me, though, I think I'd go one more to Dan. And I understand what you're saying because that's rattling around in my head.
Oh, I won't have a problem with it either.
Even right now, it's one start in more than a week for Jacob because he started the game against Washington on Friday and his prior start was Monday. So that's a long stretch of only one start. But you need points right now. You're only a game above 500.
You do.
And the other guy's feeling it. And I did not think, guys, that we would be at a point, really at any point this season, where you're like, you got to ride the hot hand in net. I just didn't think we'd get there for a variety of reasons. But right now, they're flirting with 500. And they've lost now, what, 11 of 16. You got to keep it on the rails. And if Vladar is the guy who's giving you the better chance to win, I think you got to go to him again.
Yeah,
that's then, me. I have no idea what they're going to do.
No, and I'm with you, and I'm not going to guess either. I wouldn't be surprised if they went back to Vladar. I wouldn't be surprised if they went to Markstrom on Thursday, quite frankly. I'm pretty much 50-50 and riding the fence and just trying to throw some ideas out there. I just wonder if you can potentially help Jacob get back to where he has been and I believe can be again and will be again by letting him just take a step back and – you know, working on things with goaltending coach Jason LaBarbera at practices and at morning skates and, you know, just working on the fundamentals of the game, maybe giving yourself a bit of a mental break because we just talked about how hard Dan Vladar can be on himself. I bet you Jacob Markstrom is even harder on himself as a guy who's been in this league for a long time and was the runner-up for the Vezina Trophy last season. And, you know, sometimes when you're frustrated, you just need to take a step back and take a deep breath, even though you want to be in there and helping your team win hockey games. Maybe that's not the best way to go at this point in time because they've tried to let him play through it. It hasn't necessarily worked. So what I'm saying is if they were to try a different approach, I wouldn't have an issue with that.
I wouldn't have an issue with it either. And the more I think about it, and I'm still torn, I have to tell you.
Oh, me too.
I'm still torn. But one guy has arguably been your best player in his last three outings.
Yeah.
So
maybe last four.
Yeah, yeah, if you go back to his game in Boston on November the 10th. So, you know, he definitely deserves another crack before too long. But, you know, that's a good story. It's going to be the hottest topic over the next 2 days because I know how things here work for sure. But I still have concerns about other areas of this group over and above who's between the 4x6.
Let's do this right now. Flames win 6-2 over the Florida Panthers. A lot of talk was about Matthew Tkachuk and his return to Calgary. He was booed about 97% of the time, but did get a nice standing O when they did the video tribute in the first commercial break. But the rest of the time, he was booed. He does not finish with a point in this 6-2 loss to the Calgary Flames here at the Dome. He did speak post-game, just finished speaking post-game. Let's hear from Matthew Tkachuk after his team's 6-2 loss to the Flames.
So what did you think of the tribute?
Yeah, it was nice. It's obviously nice to see that video. We had a couple seconds of showing what my time was like here on and off the ice. It was nice to see.
How did you feel about hearing, you know, there was the tribute and just like next shift, the boos, but also kind of the laughs with the boos?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, just passionate fans here.
Talk about the effort tonight from your team.
Yeah, pretty brutal start. You know, they just capitalized on the chances early, and before you knew it, it was 3-0. It's hard to come back on anybody when it's 3-0, but I thought in the second, I thought we had a really good second period and took over most of that and got a lot of momentum back. And that one just opened it up way too much for us in the third. That's not what we want to be known for, opening it up and trading chances. And definitely don't want to be leaving Bob out to dry like we did for most of that third. Just giving up a lot of partial breakaways or odd mans against. That's not us. It's unfair to our goaltending who you know, have been very good for us this year. And that's not the way we want to play, where we open it up, even if we're down by one or two. Just try to play the same way and try to come back that way.
You mentioned pregame that this team has been giving up some points. What's it going to take to right the ship?
I mean, just taking down deep. I mean, we have to take – everybody's got to take their game to a whole new level. We obviously don't have Barkey right now. He's a big, big part of it, our captain, everything. So everybody else just has to step up, and you know, this road trip is very important for us. Three more games here, so you know, that's three losses in a row. You know, last two before this night, we expected to win those games, and they didn't go our way, and we can't let that trickle into today. And it seemed like maybe last game trickled into the start of this game here, and we're down 3-0 early. So we don't want to be known for that. We want to have better starts. We want to have. You know, I think just both teams, it wasn't, surprisingly, there just wasn't a lot of, like, really emotion or maybe intensity on both sides, but to start the game. But they came out going. Their specialty teams got one, and or I guess they got one on shorthand and power play. And, yeah, just hopefully we can just erase that and realize what we did and learn from it, obviously. But we kind of have to erase that and come out van with our best game of the year.
Take us through your mindset when the crowd's on its feet, you know, giving you a standing ovation.
Yeah, it's nice. Special, obviously, had lots of fun memories here. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. They kept it going for a while, too. So it wasn't just like a couple-second thing, and it was over. So, yeah, nice of them.
You mentioned not knowing what to expect. Were you surprised with the booze at all?
Not really. It seems like lots of former players. I've basically seen them do it to multiple guys there that used to play here and that don't, that are throughout the league. So, I mean, I don't know. You guys decide that.
Kind of glad it's over? The return engagement? Or did you enjoy it?
No, I was looking forward to this game, but it wasn't like, I know we talked about earlier, I needed this game to close the door on my history here. Like, that wasn't the case at all. That door was closed a long time ago. So, but it's always going to be nice coming back here and playing for the rest of my career.
Sorry about, like, to talk about the booze again, but like, do you view it as something that's kind of tongue in cheek, just kind of fans leaning into the gamesmanship of it, or is a boo a boo?
I don't even know how to answer that question. I don't know. I've got no idea.
That is Matthew Tkachuk post-game following his team's 6-2 loss to the Flames. So Matthew's return to the Scotiabank Saddledome is done, and the Flames sweep the Florida Panthers. So Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, they get two wins against their former team, and Matthew Tkachuk gets none as 5-4 shootout win in Florida 10 days ago, and tonight here at the Dome, 6-2 ends up being the final score. Guys, we don't have to talk too much about it, and will be the last time we talk about these two teams going head-to-head this season. But, yeah, very inconspicuous night for Matthew Tkachuk this evening.
You know, I thought Matthew made some good plays early. He was robbed in the first few minutes on the backhand try by Vladar. I thought he made some plays. He was around it tonight. Thought his line was pretty dangerous, but he did not have anything to show for his efforts, and the guys who used to play for that team did have things to show for their efforts, and they should be very proud of the fact that they took four out of a possible four against their old mates.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you, Lou. I actually thought Matthew Tkachuk was probably a little bit unlucky with some of the plays that he made tonight. Certainly had plenty of time to make plays. He played 21 minutes and 50 seconds in this hockey game, had 6 shot attempts, a couple of shots on goal, and obviously a tough trip for him and the Panthers to the province of Alberta, because even though he had a goal and an assist in last night's game against the Oilers, he blew a tire in overtime, which led to the game-winning goal 22 seconds into OT, and then they come into Calgary and get blown out 6-2. But, you know, it's a Panthers team that right now is without two of their best offensive players, and Anthony Duclair and their best defensive player up front, and Alexander Barkov. And I just think them being without Barkov really doesn't allow them to slot very well, because then you got to bump Sam Bennett up to your number one center. And Sam's a good player, but...
I thought he played pretty well tonight, too.
I would agree with you, but I think he's probably better suited to be your number two guy.
Listen, that guy that's missing tonight, he makes the whole thing run.
Yeah, exactly.
He is an exceptional player. He makes everybody around him better. He's
their Elias Lindholm.
Yeah, with more upside in terms of offense.
Yeah.
And that's nothing. Everybody in this market knows how much I love 28, so that's not a shot at him. But this guy is elite in all different ways. It affects them in the face-off circle. It affects their power play. But again, you know, as we talked about Patty going in tonight, said that the Flames, without him in the game, needed to take advantage.
Yep,
and they were able to make some plays tonight. That really excited me, because there were some guys who made some really good plays who had not been making some great plays, especially thought it was just a brilliant night, playmaking for 88 and pretty good for 29. So, yeah, you know, it was a big big night, and good for those guys.
As far as Matthew Tkachuk is concerned, it kind of went the way I thought it was going to go. I would say probably 60% of the fans gave him a standing ovation when they played the tribute video. The other 40%, maybe 30%, I'm not sure of the exact split, but they were booing, maybe tongue-in-cheek booing some of them. But beyond that, the boos started after that. And
they started before that.
Well, before and then after, but got louder after for sure. But you know what? For a player like Matthew, even though when we chatted with him earlier today, he said he doesn't see himself as a villain, I completely disagree. I think he's the best villain in the NHL, and I think he absolutely loves it.
He does love it.
I think getting booed is a sign of respect for most players, including him, because fans can't be bothered to boo players who aren't very good. They boo good players.
They do.
Right? Now, there's exceptions to that rule. You know, they booed Zach Cassian a lot in this building. He's certainly not on the level that a Matthew Tkachuk is or a Brad Marchand is. But, you know, guys who are unicorns like Tkachuk, you know, they get cheered at home, and the fans of the team that they play for love them, and the fans of the teams that they don't play for hate them. But that's a good thing. You hate them because they're not on your team and because they're good hockey players. So I'm sure Matthew enjoyed coming back and the tribute video and getting a standing ovation from at least some of the fans inside of Scotiabank Saddle Dome, but I don't think the boos hurt his feeling all that much.
One little note on Matthew tonight, and just because I noticed it and mentioned it during the game, fellas, I don't have my glasses. Is that shift length at 102?
Yep. That's too long. That should be around 45 seconds.
Now, late in the game, you're out there for longer and in some offensive situations. Just thought I'd bring that
no,
to the
table. No, it's actually a really interesting point.
You did mention that a couple of times, if I remember correctly, during the broadcast.
Just for comparison's sake, going through the rest of the shift averages for the Panthers, the second highest is Aaron Ekblad at 53 seconds, and he's a defenseman. So that, I think, puts it in
perspective. No, Brandon Montour at a buck 05.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
But he's a defenseman.
Yeah.
I don't know why I brought it up. I just, it was an interesting stat.
Yep. Marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. By the way, final score 6-2, Flames over the Florida Panthers. This is Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. He's Peter Labardius. He's Derek Wills. My name is Pat Steinberg-Lew. We were focusing on Jonathan Huberdeau, back with Elias Lindholm and Tyler Toffoli. Toffoli gets a goal tonight, assisted by Huberdeau. Huberdeau gets a goal tonight. Lindholm does not get a point.
I think
tonight.
He should have got an assist on the 5-2 goal.
I do, too, because that would make me go 4-for-4 on Flames Talk Best Bet. So I also really think he should get an assist on that.
Well, that's going to help me sleep better tonight. And
please, I need the good vibes from you, Lou.
Because you know what never happens anymore in sports broadcasting? Talk about odds and betting.
Just tell you.
Whatever happened to just winning and losing? Anyway, but he did deserve, I thought, he started that play after Huberdeau missed on the breakaway, and Bobrovsky, who couldn't make some routine saves tonight but made 4 or 5 that were off the chart. He forced that loose, and then Huberdeau with what a pass that was to find Toffoli in the high slot. So I hope you do go 4-for-4 and that does get added, because number 28 deserves it.
What do we make of that line back together? You know, we talked in the roundtable earlier on this Tuesday, Derek, about, you know, the Huberdeau's level of play has really changed and been raised since the last time this group was all together as a line. What do we make of day one back together as a trio?
Just okay, I would say. I think Jonathan Huberdeau was the best of the bunch. Elias Lindholm is never bad and certainly wasn't tonight. You mentioned during the broadcast that maybe a little bit tougher night for Tyler Toffoli than what we've become accustomed to, because I think he has been as consistent as just
terrific.
About any Flames player this season. But, you know, then again, he did what he does, and that's score a goal. And he ended up with 2 points tonight. So at the end of the day, you need your goal scorers to score goals, and he got another one tonight. But that's a line that I think deserves to have a little bit longer leash.
Oh, yeah.
I still think it's going to work, and it's only a matter of time. Your best playmaker is Jonathan Huberdeau. your best shooter is Elias Lindholm, and Tyler Toffoli's probably not far behind. So it only makes sense to put those three guys together, both at 5-on-5 and in the power play. And the team did score a power play goal tonight, so that was good to see. And you like to see one per game. That's kind of Daryl Sutter's baseline. He wants one power play goal per game, and that can help win you a lot of hockey games. But I like those three guys together. But I think the line that I liked the most was Nazem Kadri between Dylan Dubé and Andrew Mangiapane. And that's another line that I thought was really good early this season when the Flames started 5-1-0. And then they lost that Battle of Alberta in their seventh game, and the lines went right into a blender. And they've gone back to that line from time to time. But I'd like to see the Flames stick with the four lines that they used tonight. I think all four of them can be effective. And even the fourth line, I thought, had some good moments in this game.
Oh, they did a very nice job, I thought, with their minutes, and not just because they scored a goal. They had some big, heavy shifts in the Panther zone. And in many ways, that is their number one job, is to be smart, hold pucks, you know, with Richie and Lucic, big bodies. Lewis is, you know, probably next to Lindholm, I would say he's arguably the smartest guy on your team. Making good reads, being in good position, even though I still think he's probably a better fit on the right side. But, you know, his smarts allows him to play more than one position. So I thought that line really did their jobs well.
Well, and those were the two lines that drove the bus in terms of possession this evening. The Dubé line with Kadri and Mangiapane, they finished just under 67% on the shot share. 5-on-5 shot attempts with them on the ice were 12-6 Calgary. Scoring chances were 4-2 Calgary, and high dangers were 2-1. And then the Lewis line was up over 62% with 1-0 in terms of high dangers. They both really pulled their weight. And it was nice to see the Kadri line get rewarded with Mangiapane and Dubé each scoring goals. And it was good to see that line get rewarded, because they've had some good stretches, they've had some good games, but maybe those points haven't come. And especially for the two wingers to both score, that was big, I thought, as well.
Well, and I never thought I would be saying this after the way he started the season, but the next guy who has to get a monkey off his back is the centerman of that line, Nazem Kadri, because his wingers had 5 points today and he didn't have any. And he's now goalless and pointless in six.
But I thought
he had a great chance. And that was probably Sergei Bobrovsky's best save of the hockey game on Nazem Kadri. But he had chances tonight, Lou. And generally the chances come before the goals, assist, and points do when you're in a bit of a funk.
Despite the fact he didn't have a point, I thought this was his best game in quite some time. Because the whole line was buzzing. And when that group, which when they're at their best, they hunt pucks. And, you know, they all in their own way are quite similar. So I thought it was a really great step. Obviously, you know, the two guys had five, but don't forget about the guy in the middle who had a nice night in the circle too. He won 13 of 20 draws. So that was a very encouraging sign. And Pat, you know, on the pregame show, we've talked a lot about that line the last couple of weeks. And because I think they're potentially the matchup issue and the problem for other teams when they're right. Mm-hmm.
Last piece of business to get to with all of us here in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge is our Player with Heart. It's brought to you by HeartFit Clinic, and those honors go to Mr. Peter Labardius.
Two players tonight, 29-88. I love both of them. There were a lot of great individual performances tonight. They didn't quite get into – I generally like some nights you can't. But I generally like to pick guys who aren't necessarily three stars. Chris Tanev is an absolute honorable mention tonight. Thought he was dynamite. But those two guys, they hunted pucks. And what I really liked, especially from Andrew, is he made plays tonight. That's a beautiful play he makes on the penalty kill. Helps it out of the zone in the first place. Cuts to the left side of the ice. It opens ice for Dylan, turns it into a true two-on-one. He walks to the middle. Montour didn't play at the best, that's for sure, but he chipped it. Dylan got it there, and I thought Andrew, you know, he ends up with 1-1 for two tonight. That night could have been bigger for him. The thing for me is twofold with him. When the work is right, the battle level is right. The next step for me is just using his offense ability to make more plays. And so those guys, they did what they do well, both of them tonight.
We're going with two players with heart on this Tuesday night. They are Dylan Dubé and Andrew Mangiapane, player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. For HeartFit assessments and proven treatments not available at your doctor's office, visit heartfit.ca. Your final score here at the Dome. We'll go ahead, Derek, quickly.
I thought it was Andrew Mangiapane's best game of the season.
He's really good.
Yeah, that's the Andrew Mangiapane that we've all grown to know and love. And to steal the quote from Brad Treleving, I thought he looked more like a beat-up Honda Civic and less like a Rolls-Royce. Honda Civic with a spare tire on there and the grill bent, as the Flames general manager said when he had a chat with Wes Gilbertson about Mangiapane in a Calgary Sun article last week. So it was good to see him just in the thick of things, because that's when he's at his best. There was another great quote in that article from Treleving about he wants to see him looking through the ear hole of his helmet because he's in there just, you know, mixing it up and getting his fingernails dirty. So that's the Andrew Mangiapane that had a career year and scored 35 goals. And if he keeps playing the way he played tonight, the goals, assists, and points are going to keep coming for him.
Final score, 6-2, Flames over the Florida Panthers. Good way to kick off a five-game homestand for Calgary as the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. The text line's open at 960-960. This is your Flames Talk post-game show. Time to get some final thoughts from our broadcast crew, starting with Peter Labardius.
I will be quick. They needed to kick off this homestand with a win. They did that. They got offensive satisfaction for some guys, including the last two that have been around it lately, but they get rewarded. Jonathan Huberdeau, second multi-point game of the year. You win the special teams battle. You win the goaltending battle. That's what had to get done tonight, and that's what did get done tonight.
That's a big win for Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar against their former team, the Panthers, and to see Huberdeau get rewarded with one goal and one assist, and to see the huge ear-to-ear smile on his face after the game was a lot of fun. And I thought Mackenzie Weegar really settled down, looked a little bit nervous early in the game, and then really settled down, and I thought played a really good game against his former team. One guy who we probably haven't talked enough about on the post-game show, I thought Rasmus Anderson was an absolute
beast
tonight and looked like a number one defenseman. He was so much fun to watch. Dan Vladar was really good when he needed to be. And, you know, for a Flames team that, unlike last season, when everything they seemed to touch turned to gold offensively, well, they've struggled to score goals in a lot of games this season. So good to see them go off for six. Six players had multi-point games. That's going to help build some individual confidence, some collective confidence, and finally a win that, you know, didn't leave you on the edge of your seat, biting your fingernails off at the end of the hockey game. A comfortable win. The Flames had a lot of them last year. Good to see them get one against the Panthers and snap their three-game losing streak. And that's a great way to start a five-game homestand. You're coming off a tough road trip. You finished 2-3-1, playing six games in 10 days. The first home game after a long road trip, and that was the longest road trip of the season for the Flames, can sometimes be a tough one to win. But they were opportunistic tonight, found a way to pick up two really important points, and we'll see where they go from here.
See you tomorrow, boys.
Yeah, sounds good.
Good night, Pat.
Peter Labardius, Derek Wills signing off following a 6-2 Flames win over the Florida Panthers here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. You just heard Derek talk about Rasmus Anderson. As you get your thoughts on the phone lines in, get in line, 403-240-4444, text line 960-960 as well. Let's hear from Rasmus Anderson. He spoke post-game after a really solid night. Goal and an assist for Rasmus. Here's his post-game thoughts tonight.
What did you think out there tonight?
Good start, good first period. Obviously, they got a little momentum in the second, and stuck with it in third. And it was a good win. It was nice. It was nice.
Did your group need to kind of see the floodgates open up a little bit offensively, just to get some guys feeling better about themselves?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, we still want to stick to our you know, structure and system, but. It was a lot of good plays made up front today, and we managed to capitalize. So it was good to get the win, and now we build up that.
Is it nice for your group once to get that second one on the power play and give yourself a little bit more breathing room so you're not just dealing with a one goal lead down the stretch there?
Yeah, you know, it was nice to get one on the power play, especially kind of for our unit. It feels like we haven't scored in a little bit. So it was good to get one, and Yeah, then we get the third, and we kind of build on in the first period. Then obviously they get the 3-1, and then we have 4-1. You know, we're still fine, and 4-2 they get momentum, and they have a couple long shifts in our zone and that kind of stuff. But overall, I think it was a strong performance, and it was nice to get the win.
Obviously, there was some attention with Matthew Tkachuk, and the media made that a big deal. On your end, was there any considered effort to not get him involved in the game? Can you describe what the approach was?
No, I mean, obviously, he's going to be involved in the game. He comes back to Calgary, so we all know how good of a player he is. You know, he makes a lot of good plays. So, and as I said, he's a good player. It's obviously going to be attention towards him. And but, yeah, it was nice to get the win. And, yeah, now we build.
Raz, you guys don't choose the reaction, but when the crowd gets into it like that, they're booing him every time he touches it. Do you guys feed off that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when the fans are in the game, you know, it's more exciting to play, and fans were great tonight, so let's keep it that way.
The focus on Tkachuk also brings, obviously, focus on Huberto. He ends up the first star. How do you feel about him, you know, given what he's been through thus far?
He's a hell of a player. You know, at the end of the day, it's a hockey trade, and it's a trade that works out for both teams. You know, we get Weeksy and Hubie, are hell of players, and Florida gets a really good player as well. So, big night from Hubie, and as I said, he's a hell of a player.
What did we see tonight that needs to be kind of a hallmark for this team during your 5-game homestand?
Just stick with it. Good start, and sticking with it, honestly, it sounds boring, but good start, get the first goal and build off that, and play quick and move the puck up to our forwards, let them make some plays, and get a little bit more shots. I think we'll only add in maybe mid-20s. And so, yeah, get a couple more shots and just stick with it, honestly. Stick with it the full 60 minutes, even if, you know, you have a couple shifts in the D-zone or whatever, you just got to stick with it. And I thought we did a good job of that tonight. There was no panic, even when there was 4-2. You know, we went out and tried to get the fifth one, and that's what we did. And it was nice to get that one, for sure.
That is Rasmus Anderson post-game following tonight's 6-2 Flames win over the Florida Panthers. Okay, your phone calls, your texts are around the corner. Call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. We're coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Your phone calls, your texts, more post-game reaction following a 6-2 Flames win over the Florida Panthers. Flames Talk postgame is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcast. This is Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, it's Haley Salvian from The Athletic. I host Hockey Central 960 from Tuesday to Friday at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. For a look at the latest on your Calgary Flames and NHL news, go click and subscribe to the Hockey Central 960 podcast. While you're there, please rate and review the show.
Our Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Okay, your final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. The Flames 6, the Florida Panthers 2, as our Flames Talk post-game show continues on a Tuesday night. We're coming at you live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan or wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Go hit subscribe. You get your Flames Talk postgame as part of your Flames Talk podcast feed. Your text in just a second at 960-960. Your phone calls in just a second at 403-240-4444. But we've heard from the number 2 star, Rasmus Anderson. Let's hear from the number 1 star of this game. Jonathan Huberdeau takes on his former team for the second time and helps beat him 6-2. Here's Huberdeau after a goal and an assist post-game inside the Flames room.
Great game. I mean, always nice to beat them too, so it's great to do that, and great team effort today.
What did you see on the goal you scored?
I didn't see anything. I just I don't know what happened. I don't know. It's a lucky goal, but we'll take it.
Some of the fans were chanting, "Hubie's better." Like, do you hear that stuff? Like, was it me? The fans seem like they've got your back and they're embracing you like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't hear that, but no, that's kind of funny, obviously. But no, I mean, you know, obviously he left here, so they're probably, you know, mad got me in weeks. So, but now I'm glad it's over for the year, and now I can just focus on the season.
What did you see on Tyler's goal? I mean, you had that really good chance and then managed to collect the puck and find an open man.
Yeah, I mean, I had a breakaway. The puck was spinning a little bit on that breakaway, so I couldn't lift it. But after that, I just stuck with it and kind of threw it there. And then Toff came in, and you know, he's got a good shot, so he's going to put it in.
I know you guys don't choose the reaction for Matthew, but when everyone's booing when he touches the puck, there's a good atmosphere in here tonight. Did that help you guys, do you think?
I mean, not booing him, I feel, but the atmosphere was just good to be on after a long road trip. And, you know, you could tell there was some excitement there. And, you know, the way we played tonight, we knew they were on a back-to-back too. So I think we took advantage of that and played well.
What did you like most about the way you guys played that?
Just everyone. I think we were playing fast and obviously to try to come back, but we stuck with it and played with some confidence. And it's great to, you know, start our own stand like that.
There you go, Jonathan Huberdeau post-game following his team's 6-2 win over the Florida Panthers. Okay, to the text line we go at 960-960. This from Eduardo says, Patrick, hope you're doing well. Glad to see Huberdeau stepping up his game. However, let's hope it doesn't stop after tonight. Also, in your opinion, do you think there's a goaltending controversy? Vladdy's starting to look a lot better than Jacob Markstrom. Your thoughts? Controversy? No. Interesting conversation for sure. Lots more goaltending questions on the text line, though, so I'm not just skirting it. I just don't want to. I'll answer kind of sporadically as we go through the text, but controversy not yet, but definitely an interesting conversation. Raj says, the boys looked like they were really having fun by the end of this one. Great to see. This says, Pat, it was good to see the Flames snap the losing streak. Couple of things. These forward lines seem to click fairly well. It's definitely worth it to give these a longer look. I also think this Uyghur and Tanev pairing could really evolve into an elite one. I was a big fan of how they played tonight. Anyways, let's hope they can continue with this effort they brought tonight moving forward. On the Uyghur-Tanev front, I felt like they could be, since the very day Uyghur was acquired, Uyghur-Tanev was the one that I was most interested in. Now, I do know that Daryl Sutter has said multiple times that he prefers Uyghur on the right as opposed to the left, but I think there's a lot of potential still, even knowing that, with what Uyghur and Tanev might be. And if you go take a look at some of the expected goals and shutdown metrics that are out there, Uyghur and Tanev have been very good through the first quarter of the NHL season as well when they've played together, which has not been the entire time. Tim says, it's amazing how different a team can look when the Flames start to get a few bounces going their way. They looked relaxed, which is the way they should look, instead of constantly fighting for everything. Great way to start the homestand, hoping for 4 wins out of 5. Riley says, great game from the boys. Great to see Mangiapane get the monkey off his back and Huberdeau get some revenge on his old team. Thought the effort was there all round, and Darth continues to impress. I'm optimistic they can continue to put in the work and straighten this season back out. Also, Blasty is amazing. I thought the jerseys looked outstanding. And if you're wondering, just in case you didn't know, I know many do. I'm not. If you know, I'm not trying to be condescending. But for those who don't, Darth is Dan Vladar, Darth Vladar, Darth Vader. So that's what that. So anytime you hear Darth, that's what it means. This says, I know they have a bunch of stuff to work on, but let's celebrate a 6-2 victory. Was at the game was surrounded by a bunch of negative Nancys criticizing the Flames every second. Go Flames, go. This says, Pat, do you ride the hot hand with Vladar on Thursday, or do you go back to Markey? I'm keeping with Vladar after this effort, if it's me. And the only reason I'm so quick to say that is because I thought about it a lot while we were talking earlier with Lou and Derek. I'm going to Vladar on Thursday. Saturday, different story, I think, but I'm going Vladar on Thursday against Montreal. This says, anybody going to talk about how Vladar's pads look like practice pads? Great performance from him tonight regardless. See, I disagree. I thought that the white and black looked really slick with Blasty. They're wearing the reverse retros where there's even more white on them on Thursday. If they go with Vladar again, I think the white pads will look even better with the reverse retros. So I thought it looked really good, and the mask worked as well. So I look at Markstrom's kit with the black jerseys is elite, but I thought Vladar's pretty slick too. I didn't mind it at all.
This says from Ryan, the Hubie's better chant was funny at the end of the game. That was definitely funny. Noah says, I'm starting a petition for the Flames to wear Blasty for every home game. This says from Will in BC, very nice to get a win when the Flames are outshot 33-23. Flames have lost too many games where they outshoot by a large margin. Vladar was 9-39 tonight. The first period could have been much different with a different goalie. Amazing what can happen when you get competent goaltending and you're not spotting the other team one or two soft ones. Pat, do you think Vladar will get more starts now? I hope so. I think at this point, Markstrom has more to prove than Vladar does. I think that's a silly comment, Will, personally. I think that Vladar, in the NHL, there is a definite measure of what have you done for me lately. But again, Jacob Markstrom has been in the Vezina Trophy conversation multiple times over the last 3, 4, 5 years. To say that Markstrom has more to prove than Vladar, that's a little silly. Vladar's playing really well right now, and Will, I love you, so that's why I know that I can say that to you. But Vladar's playing great, and I absolutely believe that they should. I have no idea what they will do, but if it were me making the choice, I would go to Vladar on Thursday. But I also think that Markstrom has earned plenty of leeway and plenty of goodwill to be able to continue to get starts himself. I don't think we're at the point where, look, Vladar has never gone and had a long run of NHL time and been able to sustain a high level. I think he deserves more starts, period. And I also think he deserves a little bit more even in the time being right now. But I don't think that there's still lots to prove on the Vladar front in terms of, and I'm really confident in what he is going to prove. I think there's number one chops there. I don't think that this has turned into Vladar's the one and Markstrom's the two. This says, Patty, if that was the welcome Tkachuk got, classy ovation, then booed the rest of the game after doing us a solid on the way out. Johnny will be in for a rough night when he comes, hopefully from not only the fans. And finally, Pat, for now, Pat, not going to lie, that was a fun night at the Dome. Could not and would not boo Chucky, though. Didn't feel right for one of the best skaters in Flames history. Just seems hard to blame the player when it should be on the GM to build a more desirable situation. On a positive note, Mangiapane was an animal. That was the Andrew Mangiapane we've come to know and love. Hope he can continue to bring that game on a consistent basis. That from Mike. That's the text line at 960-960. Lots more time for you to get your texts in if you would like to on a Tuesday night, or you can give us a call at 403-240-4444. The phone lines are open following a 6-2 Flames win over the Florida Panthers. We're available for you on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Go ahead and subscribe on Flames Talk, and you get your post-game show as part of your podcast feed. Let's kick us off on the phone lines by saying hello to George. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, man.
Good to hear, my friend. It was nice to see the Flames get the lead and actually keep the lead tonight. They've been chasing the game and trying to come from behind way too much this year, I find, which is kind of un-Flamesy, if you will, from especially like last year. So that's nice. I think, and this goes without saying, I think this is many teams in the league, but I think it's just it's different when you get the lead and you're playing with it more often than not. You know, it's when you're chasing it all the time, you're It's much harder, you know. You're having to put that effort in, and so that was the first thing I like to see. I like to see this team kind of. Obviously, it's not going to happen every game, but I'd like to see them get a lead and hold it more often than not.
Yes, for sure.
And it was really, really nice to see Mangiapane and Dubé, especially Mangiapane, get the monkey off his back, and I hope that this game gets him going and kind of catapults him to a level that we've seen him play at before, because the player's capable. And I know he's probably putting that pressure on himself because, you know, he's got the contract now. Like, he's actually getting paid the way he should have based on, you know, the past few seasons that he played prior to this one. But him and Dubé, I've always said it, especially with the departure of Gaudreau and Tkachuk, they're kind of guys that need to either stay at the level they were at last year and or exceed it. And if they're not doing that, that's a big hindrance to the team.
Yeah, and they haven't done that overall this season, but definitely looked a whole lot more like they could tonight.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully, you know, like I said, hopefully this game is a nice starting point for them and a nice launching pad. On the Tkachuk thing, look, there was a time when Matthew Tkachuk was my favorite player on this team while he was with the organization. So I'll never have anything bad to say about the guy. Did he do some stupid things while he was a Flame? Sure. And that's the nature of who he is. You know, he's that kind of player. And that's what's effective for him. But overall, he's a unicorn. He truly is. I know that term is thrown out a lot for him, but there are very few players in the league today that are like him. So, you know, we'll see how it goes in the future. I still think Florida gave up a little bit too much for him. But, like, right now, he's showing that's not the case because he's been absolutely phenomenal for them. But being phenomenal in the regular season, being phenomenal in the playoffs is a different story, right? But, I was in the building, obviously, but I wouldn't be able to bring myself to boo the guy because, A, he was really good for us while he was a Flame, and B, I mean, you can say whatever you want. The guy did give us at least, you know, the option to get a trade, and we got what I still feel is a nice haul back. So that's just my opinion on that matter.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I don't think anybody did anything wrong ever. So that's number one. You're within your contractual. If you're within your contractual rights, you don't do anything wrong. If you're asking me, however, in saying that, to me the whole idea of what a solid Matthew Tkachuk did the Flames. I mean, he still told him he didn't want to be here long term. He still put the GM in a tough spot, having to make a trade with a very, very short period of time. So, yes, did he go to the 11th hour like Johnny Gaudreau did? No. But it's not like he put him in a great spot, and it was just days after the Gaudreau news. So, I don't know. It was good that he told them? Yeah, that was good and better than lying to them, for sure. I don't know if it was like this altruistic, this altruistic olive branch that was laid down by Matthew Tkachuk. He still said, no, I'm not signing here, so I'll play out my contract, and you want to sign me to a 1 year, I'll take the QO and then bounce. And I mean, I can understand why if you're a Calgarian and a Flames fan, you'd be like, well, you don't want to be here. We'll boo you. Like, there was nothing malicious. It was all like in the spirit of the game, but I can understand why you might feel that way.
I get it. But like I said, he could have been a real, you know what, and dragged it out. And so I just, like I said, it's exactly what you said. He didn't have to do what he did. Nor was he obligated, nor did Johnny Gaudreau. But I'll definitely understand when Columbus comes to town and Johnny gets booed in the building. I'll understand that more.
I understand them equally. How's that?
Fair enough. Final point.
In the end, both guys told the organization that they didn't want to be here, and that's fully their right. That's fully their right. But I can understand as a fan of the team, you could also be like, well, I'm a fan of the Flames. You don't want to be with the Flames? I'm going to boo you. Like, that's part of being a fan. You're fully allowed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. For the next game, I'm also definitely starting Vladar. I think it's not even Markstrom's not playing good. Or I mean, I guess it kind of is. But for me, it's just the team needs points right now, and he's in a bit of a groove. And I know that he's hard on himself, but like, I think he had absolutely zero to do with the loss to Carolina. And I've liked, with the exception of one game this year that he's played, I thought he's been really, really good and dialed in all the games he's played. So I've always been a big fan of this guy. I think he's on a bit of a roll. I would definitely go to him next game. And then, depending on the result, you see after that. But, at some point, they're obviously going to put Markstrom in. I think having Markstrom, giving him a bit of time to kind of, you know, I agree with what you gentlemen said here in the post game too. I think there's nothing wrong with, you know, we're still early enough in the season where you have that liberty to kind of give Markstrom that little break. And, you know, you got Vladar playing well, so you don't have to worry about that, you know. So I'm fine with it. But ideally, look, we're going to get to where we're going to get on the back of Jacob Markstrom, whether anybody likes it or not, right? Because he's a starter. So you hope however they do it, however he does it, he finds his way and gets back to that elite level again. Because if he doesn't, then this team's going to be in tough.
Yep.
All right, my man. That's all I got for tonight. I hope you're doing well, my friend, and I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, Georgie. We'll talk soon, buddy.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Talk soon. 403-240-4444. Got a few phone lines open, so if you want to jump in now, no busy signal, give us a call. Flames win by a 6-2 score over the Florida Panthers here on a Tuesday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Flames Talk postgame continues on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you on the phone lines on this Tuesday night. Let's say hello to Will. What's going on, Will?
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Nice to see them start Markstrom tonight.
They did not start Markstrom tonight.
anyhow, loved what we did in the face-off dot tonight. I thought we were really good. But I do think that the score was not really what the game was. I think Vladar stole us a game tonight.
That is ridiculous. He didn't steal them the game. Come on, they won 6-2.
They won 6-2, but dude, that guy was standout.
He was really good. I'm not suggesting he wasn't good, but he didn't steal them the game. Come on. Will, I know that you're pushing this narrative that they need to, like, excommunicate Jacob Markstrom and send him to the moon, but, like, let's not go hyperbole on Dan Vladar. Look, Vladar's been great, and I fully believe that Vladar should keep getting some starts here, but they won 6-2. He didn't steal it for him.
Well, I do think that Florida had the better hand tonight.
And I thought Vladar played very well, made some big stops, but I thought Calgary was still was very deserving of winning the hockey game. They made plays. They were dangerous too. It was not an incredible night by the Flames. It's not like this was a full on blowout and the Panthers were so far and didn't even belong in the same rink as Calgary. No, it wasn't like that, but Flames still deserve the 2 points, and Vladar was part of that, and I named him one of the 3 stars tonight because he was really good.
We had a lot of giveaways tonight.
And so did Florida. It was a very wide-open, pond hockey-y type of game.
Yes, and it was, for sure. So going into play Montreal, I hope Vladar gets start. The other thing I wanted to mention and get your opinion on, the Sean Monahan trade where we gave him to Montreal, mm-hmm. It said future considerations. Can you add some input on that? What is future considerations?
Now I got to go back and I got to look at what the Sean Monahan trade was because there was a basically future considerations. It means nothing at this point. It kind of just means it's a way, and I hate to say this because Monty's having a really good year in Montreal. He's got 14 points in 22 games. Like, he's having a nice bounce back year, and I'm really happy for the guy. But essentially, it's the way in the NHL that you can just offload somebody at this point. You save future considerations, and they usually amount to nothing. So it was basically, they traded Monahan with a first-round pick to Montreal and didn't get anything back.
Okay, so it's pretty much a toss-up, kind of like
it was. Look, and I say this knowing that he's having a really nice resurgent season, and again, I'm rooting for the guy. I can't wait for him to get his standing O here. Dude was a class act while he was here. He gave everything to this organization. But at the time, it was a salary dump so that they could make room to sign Nazem Kadri.
Okay.
So I would not be expecting anything back. This is not going to be Robin Regier being a future consideration in the Theo Fleury trade. You're not going to get, the Flames aren't going to be getting anything back from Montreal for Monahan.
So when they say future considerations, that doesn't really mean anything at all. It's just
pretty much
a player and
pretty much, yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
That sucks.
In a salary cap world, it's kind of the part of the price of doing business.
True enough.
All right.
Mazzapani, love seeing him get a goal tonight. Hoping that will kind of boost his confidence, and we'll see what we've seen from him last year. I'm not expecting 35 goals out of him, but I'm hoping for 20.
And I think 20, first of all, I think that's what he is. I think that Mangiapane is a guy that can flirt with, can kind of be in the 20, 25 range. That's kind of what I see him as a hockey player. And you know what? If you're a 20 to 25 goal scorer every year, a few times maybe you flirt with 30, and he already has. He scored 35 last year and did so in a really good year. But I, you know, all things being equal, I think Mangiapane's a really, when he's at his best and when he's playing the way that he is capable of on a regular basis, I think he's a 20-25 goal scorer, kind of 50-55 point guy who is hard to play against at 5-on-5, gives you a nice option on your power play too, and is a really good penalty killer. He's a possession beast. He's a two-way beast. That is what I look at Andrew Mangiapane. I don't know if I see him being a perennial 30-35 guy, but I think that he can get to 20 plus on a regular basis, and I think he can do that this season still too.
And I agree with that for sure. And him on the penalty kill along with Backlund is like, those guys are pretty amazing on a penalty kill.
They got some good killers on this team. Yep, for sure.
Okay, Pat, I won't keep you. Thank you very much for your time.
You have yourself a great night. Thank you, Will.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Probably talk Thursday, 403-240-4444. Flames take a 6-2 win over the Florida Panthers. This is your Flames Talk postgame here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts. As we say hello to Gary. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, Pat. Just want to say hi to everybody out there tonight. I'm sure we all deserved a win. The Flames especially deserved a win. They play a lot of games, we're in it, we just can't finish, and to hear Matty get booed tonight's nothing I ever wanted to have happen for the guy, but if you don't want to play, like everybody said, time
well, and it was also like there was nothing malicious or classless about it. It's all in good fun. It's all part of the sport.
It's like part of the game. If you want to stay and play,
they were booing Huberdeau in Florida, and they were giving the guy a standing O during warm up, and people were crowding the glass to say thank you. And then by the end of the game, when he was taking that shootout shot in Florida, they were booing him, and like were going out of their way to boo him because like that it's sports, right? It's still fun,
we're
and it's still
fans,
good nature.
Right? We're passionate fans. We want our team to win, and nobody likes losing. There's so many games
even
this year that we're in them, and we should be getting some wins. We're not playing 60 minutes. The goalies, we need two goalies. We can pick on one or the other on different nights, but they all make great saves and keep us in the games. Give them some confidence by scoring some goals. Makes their job a lot easier. And to see the boys get six goals tonight, we should have had six goals so many nights this year. So hopefully this starts things going the right way. It was nice to see them win, and I'm grateful for that. And let's keep her going, Pat. Thank you for the call tonight.
All right, Gary, you have yourself a great night.
Yeah, back to Tabor, buddy. Back to Tabor driving again. So
okay, drive safe, hey?
We got some season tickets this year, so we'll be seeing you a little more. Thank you, Pat.
Okay, Gary. Well, drive safe. And
go Flames. Go Flames.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man. That's awesome. Drive safe coming back from Tabor. And, you know, the most important thing about them scoring six is that I just think it's big that they needed a little bit of confidence that pucks could go in. And I think that, like, just to see it go in tonight, I think that is the most important part of the win. Let's say hello to Levi on the Flames Talk phone lines. What's up, Levi?
Oh, not much. You guys?
Doing all right.
Right on. Back to the Vladar thing there.
Yeah.
Before you scrutinize me here, let me finish.
Okay.
He kind of reminds me of a Riddick. Now, let me finish. In the aspect of emotions, he's clearly, you know, loved Riddick, but Vladar is definitely the superior goalie in that aspect. But with the emotion that Riddick kind of displayed when he was here in the fact that he was hard on himself, right?
No, I don't think that's Lou made that same comparison in the pregame show tonight, and I think you're both on base. Like, I think and I think that, as you said, I think that Vladar is the better guy. I do believe that, but in terms of the emotion and the fiery side of it, and I think the likability factor too. I could absolutely see some similarities.
I think Riddick maybe had a little more emotion, which I think maybe bonded with more of the fans than anything. But, you know, I really wanted Riddick to work out because he was such a likable guy, but unfortunately he wasn't up to the caliber that we needed. But Vladar has been, I agree with what you said there. Like, this game, you know, Vladar made some big saves. The last couple of games he's played, he's, you know, you can't fault the losses on him. He's not, you know, Markstrom's great goalie too, but Vladar's not giving up those weak ones on the, you know, at the beginning of the games where we could use a, you know, a save on a weak shot that shouldn't be going in to start the games, you know. So I'm liking Vladar's game. I really do. I'm hoping he gets more starts. More than the week, game per week that Sutter was talking. I think he deserves that.
Well, and I think he's going to get the opportunity here to start some more games, and then let's see how he does and how he handles a little bit of a higher workload. I'm going to actually be really curious to see that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we haven't really seen him under a huge workload, so it'd be nice to see that. And then back to Mangiapane there. I see a future Selke candidate there. You know, the guy's defensive game is great.
His two-way game has always been probably the strongest part of his game. The problem is, usually they don't go. Selke Trophy's hard to get as a winger these days. Like, usually it's a center. It's hard to win it now as a winger, but his two-way game is really strong, man. I am completely on board with that.
So, no, I just mean in the aspect that maybe in the aspect that he's probably our most consistent defensive forward. And maybe it's just because I'm a Calgary fan and that's what I get to see night to night.
And this is not a knock on Mange at all, I would still lean Lindholm on that front.
Now, yeah, I don't disagree there, because Lindholm's been an absolute stud since he showed up, and it's hard not to like what the guy does for us every night as a Calgary Flame. But Mangiapane, I think, is only going to get better every year. You know, last year was definitely a breakout year, maybe overachieved a little bit, but I don't think that it's going to get worse with more chemistry as the years go on with Huberto, right? We got Huberto for quite a few years. I think he's going to pick up the pace. Well, I hope he does. I'm sure he will. And if I don't know if they'll ever get back on a line together now that he's back on the top line, but or I guess they didn't really play a whole bunch together, but more so Kadri.
Barely played it together at all.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I got confused there. My bad.
It's okay. It's all right. But they, I'm
thinking Kadri more along the lines with Kadri there. I think, you know, as the more games they play, the better they're all going to get, really. And I think that's only beneficial for all of them, really. Dubé especially. Dubé's got a lot to learn, but he's looking good still. And Mangiapane's just a stud every night. I think, you know, he has his quiet nights, but he's, even on his quiet nights, he's not playing bad. He's just not playing up to his level that he can.
Yep.
So, and then the only one I shouldn't say I'm disappointed with, but I'd like to see a little more action out of Uyghur.
Well, I mean, I've been fairly happy with what I've seen from him, especially the last little bit. You know, the offense, he got a point tonight. The offense has been kind of here and there, but not outstanding. But the skating, the physicality, and the pairing with Tanev, it's been pretty good. Like, I think Uyghur's been a nice addition to the group this year, and I still think he's coming, you know, I still think he's coming into his own and getting more and more comfortable, too.
And maybe that's it. I maybe I got to realize he's a defenseman and that he's not going to be getting, you know, 2 points a game every game. But I'd personally like to see more offense, obviously, because that's just more offense is better for us in the end. But it is nice seeing him out there. And, you know, when he's out there, you're not worried about a giveaway or something happening with him out there. So fair point to you there.
All right, Levi. Well, you have yourself a great night, man.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks, eh? I'd like to go out of the realm here and just give a shout-out to Coleman and Jamie. They're on their way home. Safe travels to them.
All right, Coleman, Jamie, drive safe. Levi, thanks for the call. We'll talk soon, man.
Thank you, sir.
Phone lines are open. We'll throw out the last call for phone calls at 403-240-4444. If you're on hold, stay there. We will definitely get to you. But you still have time to give us a call following a 6-2 Flames win over the Florida Panthers. Once again, 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Lots of time to get your texts in as well at 960-960 as our Flames Talk postgame show continues. As tonight's Alberta Made Player of the Game, brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery, was Michael Stone. Former Hitman captain was minus one tonight. He played 16 minutes and 23 seconds, 4 penalty minutes, had a goal, 3 shot attempts, a hit, and 2 giveaways. That was Michael Stone's night. Pretty nice night for Dylan Dubé, as Dubé finishes with a goal and 3 points as part of a 6-2 win over the Florida Panthers. And as we continue along on your Flames Talk postgame, let's hear a little bit from Dylan Dubé. He spoke postgame after tonight's win.
For us to come back after that long road trip and have a really good first period to get ourselves back in, and the way we need to have this homestand here is really important for us. So to come out right away and get that lead in the first period is big for us.
How would you sort of describe the atmosphere here tonight? Not the warmest welcome maybe for one of your old friends, but how would you describe it?
Yeah, I think it was about good to get a standing ovation for him. He did a lot, off the ice, on the ice for us. He's a tremendous player, so I thought it was nice that the Tribune, people were loud for him.
Then what do you think, when you see a guy like Dan Vladar, who's been so good and not getting rewarded with wins, to get that and as well get the offense going, what's that mean to this group?
It was awesome. He's played really good hockey for us through Pittsburgh, Carolina, and tonight, so he made some really big saves tonight, and I think it's a really important thing is he deserved that win, and we knew that we had to play really good in front of him and help him out because he's been playing so good for us back there.
And how good does it feel to have a lot of different goal scorers up and down the lineup when you know there's been talk about trying to find more offense?
Yeah, I think it was good. I think it's nice to have that night for a lot of guys, and Toff's goal was really big goal for us too in the third period, and that's what he does, so it's nice that a lot of guys contributed tonight.
Do nights like this where you have a bunch of guys on the sheet and you win kind of an emotional one, can that springboard a group in some way?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a good way for us to start the week and start the homestand. It was our goal tonight, whether it was a 1-0 hockey game or whatever the score was, we needed to win and we needed to get that home ice advantage for the start of this swing. So it's going to be really good for us.
When Andrew's goal, you think he passed the whole way after the first period? He set you up.
He set me up pretty good. So, 2-on-0s can be tricky sometimes. Though you overpass, sometimes the goalies read it well. So, I'm happy that he scored, or else it wouldn't have looked too good. So, it was nice that he scored.
How do you coaches, you're fighting it a little bit, but Darryl was saying, you've gotten lots of shots, you've gotten your looks, so. During a little bit of a stretch where you're not scoring as much, how are the coaches here kind of helping you out or trying to get you to that next level?
No, it's been good. I think just sticking with it, I thought our line's been playing a lot better of late, and puck's been going to the net, so it's been good.
How do you feel for Jonathan Huber, though? It's probably a special night for him, even though it's not the first time against his forward team, but finishes first star. How do you feel for him?
Yeah, it's awesome. He deserved it. He's done so well for us. It's nice to see that, both him and Weeks, too. It's nice to, beat them both games in the short amount of time. And, they're here for a long time, so it's nice to get these two wins for them. And I know they're feeling good about themselves for sure.
There you go, Dylan Dubé postgame following his three-point night as the Flames take out the Florida Panthers 6-2. Okay, it's Pat Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame show. We're coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Final score from the Scotiabank Saddledome, where we're coming at you from on this lovely Tuesday night. 6-2 Flames over the Florida Panthers as we get back to the text line at 960-960. This says, I'm a bit annoyed with some of the negative views on Uyghur and a lack of points. He's a defenseman. His biggest job is to stop goals against. Offense is secondary, and he's doing a decent aspect of that. Yeah, I really think Uyghur's game, offense or not, is starting to come into its own as he continues to get more and more comfortable as a member of the Flames. This says, I was at the game tonight and was refreshing to see a familiar face on the other side. Thought the reaction from the fans was on point with the standing ovation and boos whenever Chucky touched the puck. Can definitely see Johnny getting a similar reaction, if not worse, but it'll be fun to see his return. One thing I can say for sure is I don't see how anyone can boo Monahan Thursday night. The dude's a class act and played through some crazy stuff the last few seasons. Happy to see his rebound this season, and hopefully he can keep it going. By the way, thought Anderson had a heck of a game as well. I think so, too. This says, Pat, although he deserves jeers, I don't know if it would be a good idea to boo Gaudreau. It might light a fire under him, and I want to see the Flames take that one. That comes from Chris. This says, nice to see the team get some goals tonight. Hopefully Sutter will leave the lines intact for a while. I think they definitely will be for Thursday. This says, Pat, adding on to the Riddick-Vladar comparisons, I'm starting to get a similar feeling as I did in 18-19 with Smith and Riddick. That season, Riddick was out playing Smith most starts, however, did appear to have a much shorter leash than Mike did. Granted, it's a different coach. Vladar deserves more starts, just frustrating to watch him wait so long between starts while Markstrom has performed the way that he has. Well, it's not going that way right now. He started three of the last four, and we'll see what happens on Thursday against the Canadiens. This says Vladar's the hot hand, but Markey needs the soft minutes that you would normally give to a backup to get the confidence. The Oilers may have broken Markey. I'm afraid he's very fragile right now. And I'm not saying that you just roll with Vladar indefinitely. I would just go to him Thursday against Montreal, and I'd probably think about going back to Markstrom Saturday against Washington. This from Pauly B. Pat, nice to see a Vladar start. We most certainly walk away after this one with a loss if it's a Markey start. Now it's time to bring up some of the Wranglers. I have no idea if they win or lose if Markstrom starts tonight or not. This says, the Tkachuk situation is sort of like your boyfriend or girlfriend saying there's someone else while you're in a six-year relationship. Sure, you can respect them for the honesty, but you'll always be bitter. They didn't think you were good enough. Fans had every right to boo. That's a good comparison. Denise says, Pat, was good to be on site and experience a win. The first period was exciting. Didn't love the second period. Couple of questions. Did you think Backlund could have shot the puck more, and do you think the power play could have moved the puck more to pull Florida players away? On the Backlund front, yes, I thought he passed up a couple of decent shooting opportunities tonight. So tonight's game, yeah, I do think Backlund could have. He's actually made a more concerted effort to shoot the puck this year. But tonight I thought he probably passed up a couple of shooting opportunities. Easy to say from afar, but still. And the second one, I didn't mind Calgary's power play unit on the first power play. Thought it got a little stagnant after that. But on the first power play, I thought they did so well. So more of that, the better. But overall, yeah, they probably could have moved it on their four power plays a little bit more. And finally, this says, the booing of Tkachuk was the most respectful and playful, and if anyone understands, it's him. No malicious vibes in the crowd. Great stuff on the text line at 960-960. Back to the phone lines as we continue along following a 6-2 Flames win over Florida. Four more calls before we wrap things up. We'll start with Piero. Welcome to the program, Piero.
Hey, bud.
What's up?
Oh, not much. I'm just coming from the game. It was awesome.
It was fun, hey?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, the crowd, everybody was really into it. Yeah, there was a deserving clapping. There was an ovation for Chucky at the beginning, but then it was all booze every time he touched the puck.
Yeah.
That was great. and then people at the very end or close to the end started chanting, Hubie's better. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah,
did
that
you
was
hear
pretty
that?
Funny too. Yeah, I did. Absolutely.
Do you think Hubie heard it too?
He did. I know that he. I believe he did. Yeah, and I think he got
there. I mean, I imagine on the ice, probably. I don't know.
Well, he gave a little bit of. I think it was off mic, but he gave a little bit of a tongue in cheek response. Not tongue in cheek. He definitely. Awesome. He definitely heard it.
Yeah, that's great. Great win. I mean, they took advantage, right? I mean, the Panthers played yesterday, so they took full advantage and played really well, too, for sure. Vladar was great in net. I'm happy. I'm really happy.
It wasn't a perfect night, but there was plenty of positive for them tonight. It was good, and they needed some. They needed some things to bounce their way, and they got a couple of bounces tonight too, and I thought that was really good because, you know, there's been a lot of things that haven't bounced their way during the last 3 or 4 weeks, and so I thought it was important for a couple of things to find their way in that maybe haven't been finding their way in recently. So yeah, I thought it was an important win for them tonight, and a good way to start off a homestand, which is important knowing the way remember. They have the last long homestand ended with them in the midst of a 5-game losing skid. I know they came back for 2 before going out for 6, but you know, right. That last long homestand ended with a 5-game losing skid. So nice to see this homestand open with a win, and now overall they have won 3 straight here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome.
Right, but I mean, like at this stage, like as of right now, the team is not on a playoff spot right now, right?
Let's see here. So they are in a playoff spot. They're in a playoff spot. They're in the last wild card spot now. On point percentage, they're not in the playoffs, right. But in points they are. So depending on the way you look at it, by point percentage they're .001 out. So they're essentially tied for a playoff spot right now in the West.
Right, because they were playing less games at the beginning, but they kind of caught up, right?
They caught up a little bit
with the rest
for sure.
Of the Pacific Division, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and what do you think? A silver lining from there right now, how the team is that the schedule is going to be easier later, or should be more doable, like getting points because they're playing only Eastern Conference teams right now, right? It's like, it seems like it's forever. Like last time
they've definitely had, in terms of the opposition that they've played, they've had some tough outings for sure, and they've had some tough opponents. They've had one of the more difficult in terms of the opposition. They've had a little bit more of a difficult schedule to start the year. Now, you know, that is what it is. I mean, sometimes playing good teams is good for teams, and sometimes it's better to play the cupcakes. I mean, They have had a tougher schedule, though, in terms of who they've played. Now, I don't think necessarily that's a main reason why they've lost 11 of their last 16, including this win tonight. But it definitely is part of the narrative. They had some tough, especially in October, they had some tough opponents they had to deal with.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, let's... It's going to be a grind, though, eh? Yeah, it seems that way, a little bit. Like, more difficult than last year, for sure.
Potentially. It is still early, though, right? Like, I mean...
What, third of the season? No, not even, right?
Just past a quarter of the season now.
Yeah, okay.
So, and it might be, it might very well be harder this year overall than it was last year, but I still think the jury's out a little bit on that because of how early it is.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, awesome. Thank you for having my call.
Hey,
Pat, that was
no problem. As always, good to hear from you, Pierre. I'll call back anytime, man.
Okay, good to hear. Thanks, man.
Okay, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah. Thank you, man.
Okay.
We continue along. Flames talk postgame on a Tuesday night. 6-2, the final score, rather. Flames over the Florida Panthers. Jose is with us. What's going on, Jose?
Pat, buddy, I'm not going to be as upset as I was last time I called.
Okay.
Because last time I called, I was pretty upset about, the whole lip service comment that, Vladar was going to get one start a week, and, he had, three starts in 7 weeks, and I was pretty mad. But you know what? Today was a great game. Today was a lot of fun. I was there at the game, and I mean,
I don't like it when you're mad, Jose. I get anxious when you're mad, so I'm glad you're happy.
You know me, Hermano, I'm always emotional. I'm always wearing my heart on my sleeve. And today was so great. Like, I mean, that crowd was fantastic, Pat. Like, I mean, where else do you get, a standing ovation and booed in the same period?
Well, it was funny because
I was one of the people talking smack and heckling Tkachuk and yelling Tkachuk of Tkachuk of.
Hey, it's a family show. There's a family show.
So it was but when they gave him a standing ovation, I got up and I gave him a clap and I said, okay, you get one freebie, right? So.
Well, it was funny, man. Like, because they did the video tribute in the first commercial break, so yep. He had touched the puck and been out there before and was already getting booed. Like, first time he touched it, immediate boos. I was like, yep. Okay, that's funny. And then they played the video tribute, and there was a nice little standing O, and yep. That was cool. And then right back to booing him. It was just, and that's why the previous texter said, like, there's nothing malicious about it. I mean, it's a hockey city.
No.
People are smart and knowledgeable here, and I think, are there some hard feelings about Tkachuk leaving? Maybe. I mean, I think it's different for every fan. But, this was one of those – it wasn't like people were saying, you're a bad person and we want bad things to happen to you and, we're going to heckle your family. Like, no, it wasn't that. It was all in the spirit of hockey, right?
Pat, to me, the writing was on the wall. When he signed a 3-year contract, that to me right away told me that he wasn't here for the long haul. If he wanted
well,
to stay
it wasn't,
longer,
it
he
wasn't
would have signed a longer contract. He signed a bridge contract.
It wasn't all on him, though. It wasn't all on him that he signed that deal, though, Jose. That was as much the Flames who decided to go down that road as it was Matthew.
And you know what? To me, originally, that contract to me kind of signified the window that the Flames were working with that core that they had with Monahan, with Goudreau, with Tkachuk. Lindholm came in a little bit later, but it was Monahan, Goudreau, and Tkachuk that kind of formed that core. And those are the three guys that they were working with for about that 6-7 year period. And that Tkachuk deal kind of signified to me that was the window that they were going to work with, and that was going to be the end of that cycle. And lo and behold, it happened, right? Like, there was that trade. Now we got a new core in here, and it frustrates me to hear people, whining and complaining and, oh, Huberto hasn't gotten production. Oh, Uyghur this. And oh, now Kadri. It's still going to take time. It's still going to take time. Now, Pat, the one thing I wanted to mention about tonight, about the game, Rasmus Anderson to me is kind of an enigma. I really like the offensive upside for the guy. I think the ceiling, the upside, like whatever you want to call it, like that kind of ceiling for the guy is there really isn't a limit to it. Like, this guy could really become a number one center, but
well, that'd be crazy if Ras became a number one center. I'd be really
a number one defenseman. Sorry,
I knew what you meant.
That's Lindholm. Sorry, I'm trying to steal Lindholm's dinner here. No, like a number one defenseman, that number one stud defenseman that this team needs, and we haven't had really since, Al MacInnis? We haven't had that number one stud defenseman eating up 30 minutes a night.
I mean, they did have a guy win a Norris recently.
Yeah, but Gio never took us to the promised land, but he wasn't that guy in the playoffs, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't...
I don't know what your criteria are. I'm just saying that they did have a guy win the Norris Trophy recently.
I don't have
the Jose's book of what makes a number one defenseman. It's somewhere here in the hot stove. I just don't know where it is.
It's holding holding up a table leg somewhere. It's from one of those wonky tables. Like, if you move the book, if somebody kicks it by accident, you might find it. But like, the thing is, Pat, like a number one stud defenseman that plays like the 27 to 30 minutes a night, that plays on that number one PP, a Drew Doughty kind of guy, an Erik Karlsson kind of guy, you know, like, I was always banging the drum for Thomas Chabot to come here into town because I thought Thomas Chabot could be that kind of one, that number one guy here in town. And if a Thomas Chabot played with Chris Tanev, we'd have a monster here.
Thomas Chabot, why would he have ever been traded?
Because, I don't know, maybe there's a guy in Ottawa that wants to play with his brother. I don't know if, you know, that was just a thought of mine.
I see.
I don't know if there's a link there. I don't know.
That guy doesn't play here anymore. So
guy playing in Ottawa?
That guy doesn't play here anymore. So.
Yeah. No. Now we got Huberto, right?
Anyway, so, back to Anderson.
I think
Rasmus is. He's had an up and down season at 5-on-5. I thought he was really good tonight, in that regard. And the one thing about Rasmus is I think that we're talking about a guy that could give the Flames something that they haven't had in quite some time, and that is a bona fide, no questions asked, number one power play quarterback. He's looked like that a lot this year.
And that's part of being that number one stud defenseman. Now, the one thing that bugs me about Anderson the most, Pat, well, there's two things. Okay, but the number one most important thing is that this guy's got a bomb of a shot and he doesn't use it.
He's using it more. He said that he used it to wasn't his goal, but it all starts with his shot on the 2-0 goal.
That was exactly
tonight.
What I was saying to this couple that was sitting in front of me.
He's using it way more this year, though.
What bugs me the most is that Rasmus Anderson doesn't use that shot. And then, lo and behold, he uses that shot and it causes that goal.
Yes, this is not news to him. He has focused on shooting the puck more. He's talked about it. He is shooting the puck a little bit more this year, and I think that's going to be a continued evolution in his game too.
And I'll tell you something. I didn't even know that Michael Stone was playing tonight, but all of a sudden I saw the shot from the point, and I was like, hey, Michael Stone's back.
Raz has got a really good shot. It's not as much of a absolute cannon as Stone's is because very few guys in this league have that, but it's a good shot. He does a decent job of getting it through. And to your point, yes, I think that the more he uses it, the more effective he'll be. And that's why he's made a concerted effort to use it a little bit more this year, Jose.
He's
so
got a heavy shot.
Good.
The thing is,
we got to wrap it up here pretty
what
quick.
What happens, Pat, is that heavy shot, that shot from the point causes chaos.
Yes,
and that's what you need sometimes in front of the net. You can't count on a beautiful tic-tac-toe goal. You need some chaos in front of the net. You need the goalie to move from side to side. You need the defense to wince a little bit. You need guys to not know what's going to happen and players to jump on the opportunity to bury
it. Again, that's why they're getting it. Like, and I'm not trying to sound like a dick when I say this, but it's like that's why they're getting him to you for all the things you're saying. That's why they're really working on getting him to use that shot more for all those things that you're saying. And it is something that they have talked about, and he's talked about, and it's something that he's going to continue to work on. So we'll see how it plays out. I got to move on. I appreciate it, buddy.
Brother, you know I love you.
You're the best.
Ciao, man, Pat.
Thanks, Jose. Couple more calls before we wrap things up on your Flames Talk postgame. Parsons first. What's up, Pars?
Hey, brother. How are you?
Good, man.
Good. I love that call by Jose, by the way, because...
Don't pump his tires.
And
that'll do it on the phone lines this evening. Great stuff on the text line as well, following a Flames 6-2 win over the Florida Panthers. It's time for your final summary on your Flames Talk post-game show. Goes like this. As the Flames never trailed, they opened the scoring with 3 in the first period, starting with Dylan Dubé's 4th of the year. Dubé from Andrew Mangiapane at 3:05, a shorthanded goal made it 1-0. Then at 9:21, a power play goal makes it 2-0 Calgary, courtesy of Jonathan Huberdeau, his 4th from Tyler Toffoli and Rasmus Anderson, and it was 2-0 Calgary. They'd go up 3-0 less than 3 minutes later as Rasmus Anderson scores his 3rd of the year. Anderson from Noah Hanifin and Dubé at 12:03. Flames had a 3-0 lead after 20 minutes of play.
Florida gets one back in the second. Nick Cousins redirects home his third of the year. Cousins from Gustav Forsling and Aaron Ekblad at 9:52 made it 3-1. But the Flames go back out in front by three on Brett Ritchie's fifth of the year. Ritchie makes it 4-1 from Mackenzie Weegar and Trevor Lewis at 15:29. But less than 90 seconds later, Florida cuts it back to a two-goal deficit on Sam Reinhart's seventh of the year. Reinhart from Anton Lundell and Mark Stahl at 16:55. It was 4-2 Calgary after 40 minutes of play. Florida had a couple of opportunities to cut that lead to one in the third period. They're unable to do so, and then with less than 5 minutes to go, Tyler Toffoli makes it 5-2. Toffoli's eighth of the year from Huberdeau at 15:22, and then at 18:54 on a 2-on-0 break with the goalie in, Andrew Mangiapane makes it 6-2 with his fourth of the year. Mangiapane from Dubé and Hanifin at 18:54 gets us to our 6-2 final score. Final shots, 32-23 Florida. Calgary finishes 1-for-4 on the power play. Florida 0-for-4 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight, number 3, Dan Vladar, number 2, Rasmus Anderson, and number 1, Jonathan Huberdeau. With the win, Calgary's back above 500, 10-9-3. They're back in action Thursday at home to Montreal, while Florida drops to 10-9-4. They're back in action Thursday on the road in Vancouver. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, for our on-site engineers, Tim and Matt, for our reporter, Logan Gordon, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg, as the Flames take this game by a 6-2 final score. That wraps us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's been coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Next up for the Flames, they're at home to Montreal on Thursday night. Habs in town is always a good atmosphere at the Dome. Puck drop for that game is at 7 o'clock, which means we'll be on the air at 6 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. Final score from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, Flames 6, Panthers 2. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is CFAC 960 AM, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. A Rogers Sports and Media radio station. Flames Radio is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Thanks for listening. Sportsnet.ca/960 has games and times for the next Flames Radio broadcast. This is a copyright broadcast. No retransmission, streaming, recording, or copying of the broadcast in any way is allowed without the permission of the Calgary Flames Hockey Club and Sportsnet 960. Calgary's home for the Flames and the National Hockey League is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.